You're highly skilled, highly qualified, and highly successful. But most days, you feel like you don't even know what you're doing, or like you're some type of fraud. Totally out of your depth, undeserving of your accolades. It's an experience called the imposter syndrome. And you're not the only person dealing with it. It's time to get educated. Welcome, everyone, to Educated, a podcast with easy-to-follow academic discussion in the realm of psychology and other special topics. My name is Mario Rocchetta, and in this episode, we're going to shed some light on an experience that's actually quite pervasive across human beings, and this is regardless of gender, age, race, or even occupation. I'm talking about a phenomenon called imposter syndrome, which is basically like having this nagging inner voice telling you that you're not good enough and that you're not deserving of your accomplishments. Now, imposter syndrome, also known as imposter phenomenon or even imposter experience, has become well documented since being introduced in the late 1970s by psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes. And their work has shown us just how pervasive the imposter phenomenon really is. If we look back to even a genius like Albert Einstein, he once described himself as an involuntary swindler and said that his accomplishments didn't deserve as much fuss or attention as they'd been given. Or how about a world-renowned author like Maya Angelou, who wrote 11 books and won several prestigious awards throughout her career, and yet couldn't stop doubting whether she'd actually earned any of her accolades? Whether it's Einstein or Angelou or me or you, many of us indeed experience feelings of fraudulence, that nagging inner voice telling us that we're not good enough, regardless of how successful we've been. But where do these feelings of inadequacy come from? Some have wondered whether other conditions like anxiety or depression could cause imposter syndrome. But research hasn't been conclusive in that area. Just because anxiety and depression may be correlated with imposter syndrome, it does not mean that they cause it. In fact, it's more so been established that the patterns of self-doubt associated with imposter syndrome could lead to anxiety or depression. And so the question remains, what is the root cause of imposter syndrome? How come so many of us might feel inadequate or like we're fraudulent, even though we're highly skilled and highly successful? One idea is that people who are highly skilled or accomplished tend to think that others are just as skilled. And this could spiral into feelings that they don't deserve to be celebrated above others. And with this line of thinking, there's actually no threshold of accomplishment that would ever put these feelings to bed, which helps to explain why it's difficult to rise above the imposter syndrome. Now, another root cause of imposter syndrome is an unhelpful picture of what other people are really like. We see ourselves as flawed and are very hard on ourselves for our flaws, yet we fail to imagine just how deeply flawed everyone else is too. And for the psychoanalysts among us, we might be able to trace these roots back to childhood, where we looked up to our parents and felt like they knew everything, never realizing that they were once kids just like us. You see, right from an early age, we start thinking that other people are not like us, and drawing the conclusion that we are more isolated and alone in our experiences than we actually are. Now, in all of this, it's important to note as well that feeling like an imposter isn't just something experienced by high achievers. In fact, all human beings, regardless of level of achievement or success, are susceptible to a phenomenon known as pluralistic ignorance. This is where a person not only doubts themselves privately, but believes that they're the only one who's doing so. And feeling like you're the only person with self-doubt will actually further your feelings of being an imposter, which could then prevent you from sharing your great ideas or applying for jobs or taking part in any other thing in which you would excel. With all of this said, it's easy to see how imposter syndrome is pervasive and how it can pose a real problem in day-to-day life. So then, how do we rise above it? How do we combat imposter syndrome? There's no easy answer, but a majority of researchers in this field are saying that the best way to rise above imposter syndrome is to talk about it. Communication is key. Talking openly about our feelings and experiences with imposter syndrome, it can help us to see that other people in our lives, including mentors or other colleagues, have also experienced the same feelings of inadequacy. Even just hearing that there's an actual term for these feelings, that can help to provide some relief and reassurance. Open conversations remain crucial. And ultimately, the solution might lie in making a huge leap of faith that we are indeed not alone in experiencing life the way we do. Others are just as anxious and uncertain as we are. Let's remember the words of 16th century philosopher Montaigne, who wrote that kings and philosophers go to the bathroom, and so do ladies. Now, he used some more blunt language than I just did, but the point is, everyone squats on a toilet, and even though we're only well-informed about our own digestive activities, well, that doesn't mean that the philosophers, kings, and ladies don't excrete waste themselves. You see, we're all human, yet we all have this capacity to do grand and beautiful things. We'll catch you next time on Educated.